Man, I was very relaxed over there. I forgot I was preaching. She started playing. My heart jumped. I said, it's my time. I was looking for somebody else to preach. Amen. Teachers, you may be dismissed. Students, if you see your teacher exiting, follow your teacher. Amen. A scripture reading is coming from Mark chapter 2. Amen. When you have it, can you acknowledge by saying amen? Amen. Mark chapter 2. Amen. I am happy to see Minister Vivian here this morning. Amen. She's been out for some time. Amen. Glad to see her back in the midst. I'm reading from the King James Version, Mark chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thy house. And immediately he rose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. Amen. I read Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, 11 through 12. May the Lord bless the readers, hearers, and doers of his word. Amen. There's a reason why I read those verses. I wanted to point out some things to you. If you notice, it says, and again, he entered, meaning that he's been here before. Right. He's been here before. And I like that. It says, and again. And I noticed that it also says that in so much that there was no room to receive them, not so much as about the door. That means it was packed. It was crowded in the place. Amen. I thank God for that. Just reading that brought me to this message on today. And what I want to share with you is that we often hear about this time of season when it starts raining and you hear the tornadoes and we hear about the flooding and, you know, and how tragedy it is when you hear about the tornado that devastated a town or a city, or you hear about the flood, how it devastated particular area. And we talk about and we look at those things as tragedies. Am I right? Or we hear about someone who were yet full of life and then all of a sudden they were killed suddenly in an accident. We look at that as tragedy. You know, I think we could all agree to that. But there's something else that I wanted to point out before I really dive into the lesson. It's a tragedy to get up out of your bed and come to a place of worship every Sunday and never experience the power of God. Now, that's a real tragedy. Amen. I thought about that. I said, I know we know that the hurricanes and the flood, that's a tragedy, but this is a tragedy. To leave out here the same way you came in, that's a tragedy. But if the truth be told, I believe that that a trend that is fast becoming into the church that churches don't worship like they used to. Church is not what it used to be. Get what I'm going with this. I'm not able to go back as far as maybe some of you. You can go back further than me, but I remember a time where there was no technology in the church. I remember a time that there was no cushion pews in the church. I do remember that. And all the sophisticated of music and sound systems and the technology aids and things that one thing you can remember is that I noted that years ago that there was a genuine love that I saw in the elders. Sincerity coming in to worship God, praising Him. Didn't really need to have a musician in the house. They did it a cappella. They just sang. And when one person may have got choked up or tired, then the next person just took it. And everybody just sang. There was a time for that. But churches are slowly getting away from that moment in time where we just come and ready just worship and pour ourselves out to God. Now you hear people say, well, I'll come to your service if y'all got good singing. Y'all ever hear folks say that? Oh, I go to church if y'all got, I like to hear good singing. I got to hear some good music, some good singing. Or I'll come to church if your pastor can sing and if he can shout, if he can squall a little bit. I come to church if he can do that. We've gotten away from what church is about. We who are here must do all that we can to avoid this kind of spirit, especially in this day and age when everything around us is falling apart and nothing much seems to be making sense anymore. The Church of the Living God cannot become a playground where people come to hang out on a Sunday for 2 hours or so, then go back home and sit on your couch and never share anything about what God has done. If ever there was a time we need the power and the presence of God, is now. If we are just coming to church on Sunday and not sharing the gospel, then we're no better off than the Rotary or Toastmaster Club that meet weekly and do the same thing we're doing, just meeting. So I don't know about you, but God has been good to me. He has done great things in my life, and I haven't come this far to settle for just business as usual in the church. I want to experience the presence, the power of God every time I come into the house of prayer. I want to see deliverance. I want to see people healed. I want to see people come in with the limp but walk out straight. But I come to remind you that we have something that no other group or no other people have, is that we have a God that talks to us, that speaks to us. We have the Holy Spirit that God has left with us. The Bible says, again, Jesus came to Capernaum. But this time he does not go into the synagogues, maybe not until he was instead inside of a house. The house was overflowing with people. People came from everywhere because the news about Jesus went out like wildfire. Jesus was teaching in the house. But one thing I'm going to say this, and I'm kind of going forward, but then coming step back. Jesus said to the man, don't tell nobody. Don't tell nobody. If you look at Mark chapter 1, 44, it says, and he said unto him, see thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way. Verse 45, but he went out and began to publish it. God do something for you. You can't keep it to yourself. I don't care. I just said, Lord, you've been good to me. I can't keep this one. Y'all know how it is when you hear about a good sale and you want to tell somebody that you got a good deal. Knowing that they got a bad deal, you say, well, I got a better deal than what you got. You can't keep that to yourself. Because you got to tell somebody what you just encountered, what you just experienced. The Lord said, don't tell nobody. The man couldn't keep it to himself. He had to go out and say something. That's the first thing I want to bring to our attention today, is that when Jesus shows up, when he shows up, deliverance take place. You can't keep it to yourself when the Lord shows up. You will speak about his goodness. You will tell somebody what God has done. When we experience God in an extraordinary way, how in the world can you keep it to yourself? You can't keep that a secret. If we are going to see this house, God's house, fill up with standing room only, then we can't keep it to ourselves. We got to tell somebody how good God has been to us. The house got filled up quickly. Notice it said that the people, the doorways, you couldn't even get in because people were all in the doorway. You know that was a fire code. Standing all in the way. Can't even get nobody in, let alone nobody going out. So you know that had to be a fire code. But yeah, people was trying to get to Jesus because they've heard what he's done and they know what he's capable of doing. So the house was filled up quickly as it did because there were people who had been touched by God. People wanted to tell. So this tells me that if he touches you, then you have to talk about it. If he heals you, someone should hear about it. If he saves you, then you ought to share it. If he delivers you, then you ought to declare it. So imagine this. You have been praying for a car, and God came through for you. How dare you keep that to yourself? You've been praying for a job. God bless you with a job. You've been wanting to go to school, but don't know how you're going to pay for it. But then God bless you. How dare you keep that to yourself? How dare you keep that to yourself? God has been good to you. We can't keep that a secret. We got to tell somebody what God has done. The fact that the house got filled up so quickly is because there was no secret. People told somebody about the Lord.
this church will grow if we open up our mouths and start telling people what God has done for me, what he has done in my life. If you can't share that, then that's a problem. But one thing I learned, that people would love to carry some mess than to carry the gospel. He said carry the gospel. He didn't say carry mess. But we'll be quick to say, I can't stand him. I don't like her. She get on my nerves. He get on my nerves. She didn't speak to me. He didn't speak to me. That family think they all that. We quick to talk about that. But I ain't focused on that. I'm focused on how God has blessed me. While you sitting over there pouting on that, I'm thinking about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me. I'm thinking about God, how much I love you, how much I need to be near you even more. So I ain't on that. So we have to start talking about Jesus. And I guarantee you, if 10 of us or 20 of us begin to speak positively about what God is doing in our midst, watch how this church will fill up. Watch how this church will fill up and how we will see even more of the manifestation of the presence and the power of God. If you want to see this house fill up, then you need to tell somebody how good God has been to you. When Jesus shows up, there is always a word in the house. So I am convinced that every time the people of God gather for corporate worship and they are serious about hearing from God, God speaks, and he speaks clearly. There was probably some people in the house talking about where Jesus was. You know, folks just show up, just want to see what's going to happen. Just want to see what's going on. Came out of curiosity. Some had come to see him in action or to have some other physical need met. But Jesus, one thing I like about Jesus, before he even did any of that, he preached the word of God to them. So before you're going to see something, you're going to hear the word of God. He said, okay, now that I got these devils in here, I'm going to preach the word of God to you. Because some folks only want to come just to see what's going to happen. But God showed them, he told them the word of God. Preach the word of God to them. So that's why it's important for a man of God, if you're a preacher, preach. I heard it say, if you're a singer, sing. That's what you do. If you're a teacher, teach. That's why when it comes time for you to do what you're supposed to do that God has given you, you need to do it. Because the word needs to go forth. Jesus is a teacher. So what did he do? He preached. He taught. That's what he do. So that's what you need to do. If you are singing, if God blessed you with the voice to sing, then you need to sing. Now, if you're not singing, and you know God gave you that gift to sing. Now, bear with me. I know it said make a joyful noise unto the Lord. I get all that. But I think you know what I'm talking about. If you're sitting down on what God has blessed you with, don't expect for God to give you something else. Because you need to get up off your sit-upon and start using what God has given you. So having a God who speaks to us is one of the most distinguished characteristics of our God. For no other God is able to speak like our God is able to speak. Because our God is the only one that's alive. That's why he's able to speak. All the other gods can't speak because they're not alive. Buddha can't speak for you. You stay away from him. He can't speak. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1 that in times past he spoke to our forefathers through the prophets. God can speak to us in many ways. Let me tell you something. God can use a child to bring the word to you. Y'all know how sometimes we don't want to listen to kids. We don't want to listen to this baby. God can use this baby. If God can use a jackass to talk, that's God's way of saying, I'm creative in how I speak to you. While you're looking for me to speak to you one way, I'm going to come another way. So don't discredit God's word. God speaks to us in various ways. And for anybody that's trying to hinder someone from coming to another to speak to them, it says something about you. Listen to the word of God. As I said to people, don't matter who's up here, whether it be male or female, close your eyes and ask me and ask this question. Do you hear the word of God? Regardless of who we are looking at, but I want you to understand, close your eyes and listen to the voice. Do you hear God's word? And if you hear God's word, then I ought to tell you something. Think about it. It doesn't matter where you are. When God shows up, there is a word. Abraham, going about his normal business, the message to me, going about his normal business, God shows up, spoke a word to him that would alter the course of the Bible history forever. Abraham, not knowing where he's going, God said, just go. I'll tell you when you get there. In other words, start walking. In other words, an act of faith is, I don't know where I'm going, but God told me to go, and so I'm going to get up and start moving, and you will move in the direction that God is telling you. Moses in the wilderness, in the midst of the burning bush, God spoke and gives him his mandate, mission, and his job description. Some of y'all got your job description for the Lord, you don't like it. Many of us on the jobs, we don't like our job descriptions. And then we don't like the other stuff that they have us to do. But in that fine print, they always put in that clause, other duties. That's always the last one at the bottom. After you read all that, you're like, okay, I'm fine with that. But then at the bottom, it says, other duties as assigned. That means there's going to be some stuff that you ain't going to like. But you signed on the line and said that you agreed to what you have in front of you. So in other words, when they give you a project, you can't say, that ain't in my job description. I'm going to tell you to take a second look. Because down at the bottom it says other duties as assigned. That got you. So this is a duty that's assigned to you, so you need to do it. That's the way it is with God. There are some other duties as assigned. We may not like it, but it is assigned. And until you do the duty, your evaluation is going to be dependent upon it. Jeremiah in the dungeon, down in the press, and God spoke a word to him. He says to Jeremiah, he said to Jeremiah, call on me. Paul on the road to Damascus, about to do mischief. Jesus shows up and speaks to him, Saul, Saul, why persecuted me? That encounter changed this murderer and church hater for life. But then here's what I like about this, is that you can take your name and you can put it down. And then you can say about yourself. See, this is what I said about myself. I said, when I was down and didn't know which way to go in my life, didn't have a job, God showed up and spoke to me and said, follow me. I will show you the way you need to go. So we can take ourselves and put ourselves in this situation. We don't have to always say Jeremiah, Paul, and Abraham, Moses. God is the God of you. You can put your name there and say, whatever your name is, you can say that it is me. Here am I. Send me. So it doesn't matter your circumstances. When Jesus shows up, God speaks into your life and changes things forever. Look at the text. He speaks to the guy, himself, not to those who brought him. He spoke to the guy. Sons, your sins are forgiven. Jesus spoke to him. And I'm going to say this, when you come to Christ, He speaks life into your situation. This man had a situation. God spoke life into his situation. He speaks to the guy again. Get up. Take up. Go up. He speaks life into this man's situation. I believe that Jesus is here right now. Because it says where two or three are gathered. It's more than two or three. He is in the midst of us. So he is listening to this message as well. He is here in the midst. So whatever it is, you need to know that when Jesus shows up, things change. No more church as usual. When God speaks, oftentimes his voice will call for an act of courage on our part. It will call for us to get up and stand up, rise up. Because you didn't hear God's voice, don't assume that he didn't speak either. How many times have you been in school, college, or in a conversation with somebody? I was just in a, got to tell on myself, I was just in a conversation with my wife yesterday, and my wife said to me, I must be talking to the wall. I was listening. I repeated back what she said. But one of my point is, how many times are we distracted? I was distracted by two little ones. How many times are we distracted when God is speaking to us? We may be texting in church. We may be having a sideboard conversation in church. Not listening to the word of God that's going forth. So we think that I ain't heard nothing from God yet. That's because we ain't listening. Trust me, it ain't that God has nothing to say about the situation. It's that we're not listening to what he is saying about the situation. Because if you was listening to what he's saying about the situation, it's kind of like, I got to say this. This one of the things that gets me a lot of times as just a person. Knowing God and knowing who God has already spoke. We ain't waiting on nothing. Let me tell you this. Let me say this again. We're not waiting on anything. He spoke. He spoke his word. So when I hear people say, I'm waiting on the Lord to speak to me. No, you waiting on your conscience to give you a desire that you have, and you trying to let it manifest itself up inside of you to where you think that that's what God is telling you. And he's really not. Let me break it down to you. Let's say you married and here's a woman over here. And God is saying, this is your wife. Okay, this is the desire over here. You want to get over here. Sorry if I'm stepping on toes this morning, but this is what it is. So, yeah, it is. So, here it is. You're trying to talk to this person over here, but God is saying, this is your wife over here. But your desire is saying, I want this over here. You dwell on it long enough, you will. But that ain't God telling you, well, God made it feel right. No. No, he didn't. No, he didn't. That's something that you wanted to do. You did your own thing. Well, for example, Abraham had a wife. God said, I'm going to bless you this time next year. I'm going to bless you this time next year. In other words, I need to wait. Remember I said when you pull up to a restaurant, a McDonald's restaurant or whatever, and you place an order, okay? If your order is not on that menu, you're going to have to pull up and wait because it's not ready yet. So what God said that he wanted to do with Abraham and Sarah, it wasn't said this time next year. So what did Abraham do? What did his wife say? Well, why don't you go into the handmaid? Well, I don't think Abraham had a problem with that, but I just think that they stepped out of turn. Did what they wanted to do. That wasn't God. God said, that's what you did over there. That ain't what I did. I'm going to bless you with this child. So what I'm saying is that a lot of times we think God is speaking to us in a situation over here when God is not speaking to you. When I was single, I said this and I said it again. I was offered a lot of money to relocate to Chicago. threw a lot of money at me. Single man coming to Chicago, you love it. Just because somebody offered you more money don't mean it's a blessing from God. Because here's what happened. They held a position open for me and was begging me to come up there. And I said, no, that's not what God wants me to be. I don't have to go into a lot of details with folks. I just said no. Sometimes you got to understand that the more you talk, the more the devil takes that. You see what I'm saying? And now he started to work with it because now you're saying too much to him. So now he's going to counter-react what you're saying. Y'all ever seen send somebody an offer and then they come back with a counter-offer? Well, that's what Satan does. If you're going to say something to Satan, Satan's going to give you a counter-offer. So the best thing you can say is no. I ain't going. I don't want it. Stop asking me. When you see that God blessed us with call out, they use it. You have, let me say something. Not only did he bless you with a call out, but he blessed you with a secretary. It will answer the phone for you. It will tell them that you are not available at this time. Call back later. Your number is important to us. Y'all better understand how God, use the resources that God has blessed you with. Let your secretary, that's what you're paying for. You're paying that phone bill, right? That's your secretary. Let her take the calls. Or him. Let him take the call. So we have to understand to say no. Don't get into a casual conversation with Satan. And so here's what happened. When they offered the position, then all of a sudden, a few weeks later, a month or so, whatever, it was some time. Then they laid off. And that was the position that they laid off. More money does not mean a blessing from God. You better understand that. Don't chase money. If you're a child of God, you ain't got to chase money. But I tell you this, if you're a child of God, that money will chase you. You look back, that money still, I don't care where you go, that money is chasing you. You know how when I gotta say this, y'all. The child is in me. You know when you was a kid, you know you was a zigzag, and see if that person is keeping up with you. You can zigzag. That money will still be right up on you. I don't care where you go, but if you are a child of God, and you are living right, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and everything will be added unto you, and will catch you. I don't care how you zigzag. I don't care how you go through it. It will catch you. So, listen to what I'm saying here. We're not listening to God. Because if you're still struggling, still in your situation, you're not listening. Very simple. If a teacher gives instructions, you listen to the instructions, you take good notes, you will pass the test. If you are not paying attention, if you are not taking good notes, then you will flunk the test. You will continue to repeat the same course over and over again. So then how do I get to pass this course, get to pass this test? Well, I got to get rid of the distractions. I got to get rid of the foolishness. If you are in an unfruitful relationship with somebody and you're not married, get rid of all of the mess. The distractions that is in your life and focus on God. God will bless you. So notice here. Notice something in the text that is a sidebar to the main idea I'm dealing with today. This guy didn't come to Jesus on his own. Others brought him to Jesus. Sometimes in order for others to come into a saving relationship with Jesus, we have to bring them to Jesus. That's why I say each one, bring one. Everyone would not come on his own or her own. Some people need help. Some people need encouragement. Some need some persuasion. It will not always be easy. Some people just need a little nudge. You know this person don't have a church home. They can't even name the pastor. Where they, you know how, y'all ever ask folks that? What church you go to? I go to such and such church. Ask them what's the pastor's name. Bet you they can't tell you because they don't go there. You ain't even got, I mean, where's the address? Tell me the address. They can't even tell you the address. They probably can't even tell you the city is in. They just named a church. I heard about it. Listen to what I'm saying. Each one, bring one. This man did not come by himself. Others helped him. In fact, there are times where you alone may not be able to get to Jesus, and you have to get other people involved to help you. So it took four to get this one to Jesus. Took four to get one to Jesus. Gonna need some help. Can't get there on your own. So we're going to fill up this house. We have to get into the habit of bringing folks where Jesus is. For where Jesus is, there is salvation. Folks get saved. So when Jesus shows up, people are delivered. People are saved. Then the man came paralyzed. I just love this. Came paralyzed, but he left praising. He was lying down when he came in, but he was standing up when he left. He came in secretly through the roof, but he left openly through the door. He was paralyzed, sinner, when he entered, but he was a powerful saint when he made his exit. He came stretched out, but when he left, I believe he was singing the songs, no more shackles, no more chains, no more bondage. He said, I'm free. I'm free indeed. So I know that this man wasn't the same as he came in, unless you're reading a different Bible, because he went out a different man. I know one thing. He was satisfied because the thing that once carried him, he now carries that thing. I'm talking about his bed. He didn't need a bed any longer because he received his breakthrough. He didn't need any help on the way out, for he had received his healing on the way in. When Jesus shows up, won't be church as usual. Won't be church as normal as you think. Because when the Lord is in the house, if you got a problem, he will solve it. He will deliver you. Burdens are removed. Deliverance takes place. Healing happens. Sins are forgiven. People come to church more often. People show more concern for each other. There is more love in the house. So I'm going to say this. If you are ready for more than a casual relationship with Jesus, then he's ready too. If you want a relationship with God based on a true change of heart in a lifetime of becoming more like Jesus, then God is ready to give it to you today. People are just sometimes, you know, you see, people are sitting back in crowds while one or two people are expected to do the whole thing. Y'all see the stuff like that? You know, sometimes, you know, one thing I'm going to tell you about, people will show enough watch you work. Y'all see that on your, y'all see that on your jobs. You ain't got to go far. I'm going to tell you, people watch you work. They'll sit there with their legs crossed watching you and looking at you do all the work, and they ain't offering now one bit of strength or help to come over there knowing you struggling. I mean, I'm picking this up, and this guy, you know, this guy at work, you would think he would come. I'm like this. And this guy, you would think he would come and try to help? No. He said, we on the same team. He just kept walking. I'm like, really? I got this. I was like, boy, they're co-workers, boy. They get on my nerves. Out of breath and everything. I was mad ready to fight. You need help? You gonna know. I said, Lord, help me. And I said, he gonna need me for something. I'm like, I don't even know what it is. It can't be like that. We can't be like that. Having flashbacks. He ain't even working there no more. But that's wrong. We won't even help folks out. We just sit there and just let people just struggle. Why do we do that? Won't even open the door. You know, there's times that I'm going to say this. Maybe it's just me. I don't know. The UPS man came and he was delivering stuff. Y'all know I found myself helping him unload that truck. I mean, before I knew it, I'm in a conversation with him. I'm enjoying myself and we talking. And next thing you know, we unloading the truck and I'm going with him. I'm pulling it. And he's like walking by. I'm like, hold up, dude, I don't work for you. But that's my personality. I'm a doer. You know what I'm saying? I'm a help. That's what I'm here for. That's what I do. But I'm saying is that, you know, if we can't be like that in the house of prayer. Sit back and let everybody do everything. Jesus go and calling Peter, Andrew, James, and John to be his disciples was to teach them how to use their God-given talents and ability to expand God's family. So they left everything that could keep them from achieving that goal. So what am I saying? When the church starts looking like a spectator sport, something needs to be done to get people out of the stands and into the game. You can't just sit there every Sunday and not be involved and not be a part of something. That just don't work. I don't know anybody that wants to be like, I just don't know that. That just doesn't sound right. I don't know any. Now they got it where, let me say this. When I was playing ball, the coach put the players out there that could really play. The ones that couldn't play, you didn't start. You sat on the bench, and there may be times where the parents paid their money, but you may get in like one or two games, and that's only if it's what we call in some games mop up. In other words, you beating them so bad, you just start putting the other people in. You just finish it off. The game is really out of control, is out of hand. There's no way in the world they're going to catch up and come back. So now you put them in the game, and then that mother paid all that money and so happy that that baby is in the game, and the game is really over and out of hand. But now it's not like that. Now they have to play everybody. Everybody has to get in the game, whether they can catch, whether Jimmy can catch the ball or not. He's got to be out there, ball flying over his head, ball going through his leg. I don't care. You got to cheer him on, and he's messing up the team. You just got to deal with it. And everybody mad. We going in because three runs just went through his legs. You mad. Then the next thing is, here come three more runs hitting the ball to Jimmy. I'm just serious. That's what happens. But that's not the way it should be. We should not be letting everybody do everything. If you are ready, listen to what I'm saying. If you are ready for more than a casual relationship with Jesus, then he's ready. Jesus is here right now. He is present with us right now. He's ready. He's ready. If you want to be more than a spectator watching Jesus work and through others, then God is ready to give it to you. Christianity is not a spectator sport. The worst thing any churchgoer can do is to be a hearer and not a doer. Christ himself pronounced doom on religious people who want to be more, to just be mere bystanders. Something is seriously wrong in a church where the staff does all the ministry and people are made to feel comfortable as mere observers. One of the pastor's main duties is to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. Every believer is called to be a minister of some sort, which each of us, using the equipment, I mean the unique gift that God has given us. I notice I keep going back to gift. God has given you something. He's given you something to use for the church. That's why the scripture portrays the church as a body, an organism with many organs, where each member has a unique role. All contribute something important to the life of the body. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. So I'm a Cardinal fan, and I read the history of the baseball and Cardinals. I remember reading something about Dizzy Dean, and this really touched me on this message here today. He was a Hall of Fame baseball pitcher whose career peaked in the 1930s. He won 30 games that year in 1934, and that wasn't repeated again until 1968 when, I don't know if you remember, Denny McLean, who I believe he pitched for the Yankees, he pitched, and he won 31 games. In the 1937 All-Star game, Dizzy Dean took a line drive off his toe, and the toe was broken. It should not have been a career-ending injury, but Dizzy Dean was rushed back into the lineup. Listen to what I said, rushed back into the lineup before the fracture was completely healed. And he pitched several games favoring the sore toe, favoring. That led to an unnatural delivery, okay? Unnatural delivery. The reason why I'm going slow, because I want you to listen to this. That seriously injured his pitching arm. Pitching arm. The arm never fully recovered. So Dizzy Dean's major league career was instantly over in 4 years. 4 years. So what am I saying? Something similar happens in any church where there are non-functioning members. The active members of the body become overextended. Y'all understand what I'm saying? This is why I'm going slow. The active members of the body becomes overextended, and the effectiveness of the whole body suffers greatly. Even the most insignificant member, like a toe, is designed to play a vital role in the body. We have people here that are active members that have overextended themselves tremendously. But we need help. We need help. We need people to help us. We need people who's going to be real about their walk with Christ. Who's going to be serious in their walk with him. God does not want any part-time Christians. Let me say this. I said it before, and I'll say it again. God wants full custody of his children. He ain't trying to share custody with the devil. God wants full custody. Will you give him full custody? And you know how it is. Y'all know what I'm talking about. When a child who has a split family, you got one parent over here,
one parent over here. They're at odds with each other. And this child is in the middle. This child will play either one. Y'all better understand me when I say this to you. Child will play either one. And while you two are feuding, this child is watching and listening to everything you say.